The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were there with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
To be honest, when I think about being in a boat and being filled with fear, I actually don't think of the gospel. I think of yesterday. I was on a canoe trip with the Knights of Lily Temple, our high school boys. I got tipped by them. Let's just say that young man will not be serving at St. Louis de Montfort. These guys are okay. They didn't tip me. No, when reading the gospel, there's one line that evokes a very emotional response for me for some reason, and it's, "Do you not care?" What the apostles say to our Lord in the boat, in the midst of the storm. And in the end, we know by his divine power, he calms the storm. But his correction of them, or his question back to them after he calms the storm is, "Do you not have faith?" When we think about faith, the first thing, of course, is what does faith mean? Do I believe in God? And I don't want to skip a step here. I think it's probable that, and it's possible that you are a baptized, even lifelong Catholic that even attends Mass regularly, and you might even wrestle with that question. Does God exist? I don't know. I'm going to go through the motions, but I'm still not sure. And if that's a description for you, I ask you during this Mass to throw up a prayer and say, "Lord, grant me faith." But that's not the apostles' problem. They know Jesus is there in the boat. Another level of it, of faith, is to not just know that God exists, but the next level is God is powerful. He can do something. Sometimes that takes great faith to say God has infinite power. He is omnipotent. And he can fix, correct, heal anything. And that's not the apostles' problem either, I don't think. Because if we read the Gospel of Mark, what's just happened? This scene happens in the evening. They've spent all day watching Christ, miracle after miracle. He has spent the day healing a man with a withered hand up to this point, healing of a paralytic, casting out a demon, pouring himself out, preaching and teaching. And maybe that's a truth for us that in the midst of a storm, it's almost like amnesia. Like you forget what has taken place before. This is like the 1,300 years before the time of Christ when the Israelites are going through the desert. It's like they forget, number one, that God caused the 10 plagues to release them from Egypt. They forget that he parted the Red Sea. They forgot that he brought water from the rock. They forget the manna, and they still turn to him and say, hey, there were graves back in Egypt. Why do you take us out here to die? So they forget. So I really don't think the apostles are doubting Christ's divine power. Their question is, do you not care? I know you're there. I know you have the power, but you're not doing anything. And that's a question we can ask sometimes too. But here we have to be reminded that Christ's entire existence is a proof that he cares. If God didn't care, Christ would not have taken flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If God didn't care, he would not have been born in a filthy feed trough. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have been in Egypt as a homeless family. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have gone into the desert for 40 days to fast for you and to contend with Satan for you. He would not have spent his public ministry pouring himself out. He would never have climbed Calvary if he didn't care. He never would have died. He never would have conquered sin and death in his resurrection if he did not care. So we root ourselves this morning in that fundamental conviction, that act of faith, that God, I know your divine love for me, even amidst the storm. So if we establish that Christ does care, then why is he sleeping and why doesn't he stop the storm right away? Why did he even stop the storm from even beginning? I think all of us can recognize that without tension in our life, there is no change. Without difficulty and challenge, there's no growth, and there's certainly not transformation, which is what God wills for each of us. Transformation. The storm is that environment, that situation by which real faith can be invoked. And I think that's why a storm is such a perfect situation, because we can relate to this in the 21st century. So much in our life is under our control, or at least we think it is, right? As long as I've got all my things in order and this is taken care of and I've got control over things, then I can say, yeah, I trust God. But it's thrusting us into a situation which brings us back to reality that we're not in control. When we're at his mercy, those are the situations that evoke that growth of saying, how much do I trust him? How much do I believe he cares about me? And I'll admit that I've experienced some of that growth myself. Many of you know that Monday through Friday this past week, there were several staff members that were away. So Father Jordan and I, Scott Stewart, our principal, John Zakalak, our director of operations, Deacon Brian Freiberger, our director of evangelization, we were in Michigan for what they call a leadership immersive with Father John Ricardo in Acts 29. Many of you experienced him in our Lytton Parish mission. I've never done anything like that. I've been on five-day retreats, and I've been to leadership conferences, but a five-day immersive, it stretched me. And it stretched all of us who went there to understand our own weaknesses and limitations, our own wounds, our own understanding of God as Father. And what I've realized is that for far too long, I've been self-reliant. Not that I don't lean on other people at work, and I do. But I try to do too much apart from him. Why would I do that? Why do I think I have to have all the answers and all the solutions and all the direction? And when it's difficult, I just white-knuckle it and power through. And what that leaves me as is exhausted and frustrated and discouraged. And then I find myself asking the ridiculous question, God, do you not care? Of course he does. And maybe that's why he's asleep in the boat, because he's like, well, it looks like you guys got it handled. I'll just take a nap. until you realize you need me. So I've learned a lot. And I want you all to come with me in understanding. We've grown a lot, but we need to grow more in our real faith of God's divine care for you. Now, in the history of the scriptural interpretation, beyond it being a historical event, right, in the life of Christ's life, the boat is symbolic as well, right? Symbolic of several things. Most especially, it's a symbolic of the church. The church has always been seen as the ark of Noah, right? The bark of Peter, this boat by which even the church structure, traditionally, where the people of God sit is called the nave, comes from the Latin navis, which means ship. So you're in the ship of the church right now, and who is in the bow up here? Our captain, Christ, here in the tabernacle, and he is not asleep. And that's a reminder to us, when we read this gospel, the church, we've got Christ, no matter what wave of history, we are protected. We have no reason for panic and anxiety. But the boat can also symbolize our family. The boat of our family that can be rocked by the movements of the culture and waves and pressures from all sides, professional and otherwise. And we're reminded today, if we can remain fixed on the presence of Christ within our family, we will not sink. But I'll take it one step further. The boat is a symbol for our souls. All sorts of storms rock us. Passions and emotions. Anger. Sadness. Feeling of helplessness, isolation, depression. Vengeance. Those are storms. Storms of temptation, all those things. In the midst of that, Christ wants to remind us, by grace, I dwell within you. Christ is dwelling within you by grace, and he is loving you there. And if only in the midst of whatever storm we're going through, I can be attentive to that divine presence. What happens? Even amidst the storm, when I fixed my gaze upon Christ in my soul, there's calm. There's real peace. And to have that interior peace and calm amid storms requires a very, very intentional and intense interior life. We could say that this story of Christ calming the waves in the boat, it's a story about prayer, about how we relate to him. Is he merely functional when we need him? Or is he the light of our life and the source of our stability and confidence? One of the many things we heard this past week at that Leadership Immersive, the one thing that was said is, notice in the Gospels when the disciples approach Jesus, they do not ask him, Lord, teach us how to say prayers. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. So maybe that's a starting point for us. To examine how I relate to God every single day in my prayer. Do I say prayers, which is part of our Catholic Church, our memorized prayers, our rituals that are rich? But do I pray? Do I reveal those storms to him, trust him with them, and allow his peace and his calm upon me? And it's such a consolation that it's not just 2,000 years ago on a boat. He wants to be present to us now. And it's not a presence from the outside, it's a presence from the inside. And that's the glory and the joy of the Mass. The fruit of this sacrifice is he wishes to dwell within you by grace in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's where we turn now. And at this Mass, with his presence here in the ship of this parish, we don't ever, ever have to ask the question, do you not care? Because indeed he does.